Welcome to the Smarter Trading Podcast. If you want to sharpen your trading skills or become a more savvy investor, then you're in the right place. Every week, we sit down with professional traders who are ready to share practical insights on what it takes to succeed in modern day markets. Smarter Trading, the show to watch to trade smarter.
Kevin Medeiros is the founder and CEO of The Trade Risk. All opinions expressed by guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Evan or The Trade Risk. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as the basis for investment decisions. Evan and guests may maintain positions in securities discussed in this podcast.
This episode of Smarter Trading is sponsored by Investor's Business Daily. Some people say it's not possible to time the market, but William O'Neill and the experts at IBD created a system that helps you stay on the right side of the action, aggressive in uptrends and protected in downtrends. IBD digital members get daily updates on the current market conditions so they always know when to take action. Join IBD Digital today and be in the know. Podcast listeners can get their first 2 months for only $20 by going to investors.com/Evan. That's investors.com/EVAN. Now, let's hear about today's guest. Our guest today is Dr. Phil Perlman. Phil earned his doctorate in clinical psychology and has been involved in markets since the 1990s. He is currently the chief behavioral officer at Osprey Funds and has held roles at Yahoo Finance, StockTwits, and Bank of the Ozarks. In this episode, we talk about the importance of taking care of your body through good nutrition. Trading, after all, is all about performance and execution, so who wouldn't want to get a leg up on their competition? Phil shares insights on how to improve key cognitive skills, increase energy levels, regulate your emotions, and a whole lot more. He talks about the hardwired skills of top-performing traders and why it's so important to direct our attention to the things we can control. You're not going to get any fancy trading strategy tips in this episode, but if you want to live a healthier, higher performing lifestyle, then this one's for you. Please enjoy this episode with Dr. Phil Perlman. I would love to start with knowing if you had breakfast this morning.
No, of course not. Never eat breakfast. I drink black coffee. I drink water first thing in the morning. I drink black coffee throughout the day until about 2 o'clock. Usually don't eat till at least two, usually around 4 o'clock, sometimes earlier. Days I work out, I usually eat about 1 o'clock.
And why is that?
Well, so here's the thing. So if we squeeze our eating window into fewer hours during the day, so say between 12 and 8, or say between 4 and 8, what we do is we give our bodies more opportunity to rest and do other things. If we eat all day, first of all, we're probably eating too much, and we may not be eating nutrient-rich foods, which satiate us. But we don't give our body a chance to rest and do other things it needs to do to take care of ourselves, like cellular healing, which is called, the fancy word for that is called autophagy. And as we get older, our body does less of that. That's something that our body naturally does, is take care and do housekeeping on our cells, get rid of bad cells and so forth. And as we age, as with so many different sort of processes in the body, our body does less of a good thing as we get older, as our bodies age. So we want to foster the good things. And one way to foster autophagy is to eat within these windows. So there's all kinds of benefits that come from eating in a narrower and narrower eating window.
So this I think commonly would you fair to say it's intermittent fasting? Is this kind
this
of
is called intermittent fasting? It's okay. Gotten very popular. I would recommend people try it, and that they eat, the first thing they eat any day is a super nutrient rich food, like fish or chicken or yogurt. Those are the types of foods that if you eat the first thing you eat, you know, if I eat today at 4 o'clock for the first time today and I have animal protein, that will be very satiating. It will nourish my body and give it what it needs. That's the basic idea of intermittent fasting and the basic rationale for why you would do it.
And have you always been conscious about nutrition and health in this fashion?
No. I'll tell you what made me change. So this is a big thing in my life that we're talking about now. And I would like to make sure that during this hour, we talk about this within the context of market participation for your traders out there and other, you know, and investors, because there's a huge connection here. This is really important in terms of honing, sharpening your edge. And we'll get back to that. But your original question was, have I always done this? Here's when I started. I started getting healthier. When I was young, I was very healthy. When I was in my teens and early 20s. And then as I went to college, I got away with it. I got away from it. I started partying. But my nature is to be very healthy and to be athletic. That is who I am. That is who I was when I was young. And we want to make sure we don't lose that part of ourselves, that young self, because that young self tells us a lot about who we are, who our core is, who the real self is. So, but anyway, though, so I became a dad at a little bit of an older age than many people in sort of the suburb that I live in. And I looked around and I was like, okay, there's these new dads and a little bit younger than me. And I don't want to be like the old dad, you know? I want to make sure that I have plenty of energy to play with my kids, to run around with them, to you know, one day play with my grandkids and still be thriving and vital at that time. And so I started running with my eldest boy loved to run since he was very young. And so we started, you know, training together when he was like six. He was all into it. Could run forever. You know, he has a little bit of that Forrest Gump thing. And we went out and ran a 5K together when he was like six and he crushed me. But awesome. It was like my entree into getting back healthy again. That was about 9, 10 years ago. So it's been about 10 years that I really started, but it's been a process of getting more efficient and honing. I don't think I started fasting. You know, I think that's only been maybe 4 or 5 years.
Got it. Yeah, I love this because, so we will, you know, this is a trading podcast after all, but I am fascinated with nutrition, with health, because trading is it's a performance activity. It's a performance sport, if you want to call it that. And what you need to take care of, as I know you will 100% attest to, is your body being a very core part of that. And the other fascinating thing I find about nutrition is there's lots of parallels to trading in terms of there's a ton of ways to do it, right? Should you drink milk? Should you have any carbs? Should you do no carbs, slow carbs? So there's lots of ways to approach it. And on some level, we all know what's required, right? We know we shouldn't eat the cookie with sugar topped all over it, but it is seductive, right? It tastes good. We want it. We want the dopamine. So there's so many parallels. I'm fascinated with that. And I'm going to do one more question. You can obviously respond to that. And then one last question before we migrate. But what helps you stay on track on the nutrition front? Because it's tempting. We're tempted every day going to a party, going to a friend's house, eating.
Let's start with your first part. Okay. So here's the thing. We're all going to die one day. Fantastic news, right? But really, it is good news because what it does is it puts us within this context of the value of life. Life is incredibly precious. Every day is to be lived to its fullest because it's finite. And when we reach our expiration date, there's no mulligans, right? You can't put another ball in the tee and hit it because you hit the first ball in the woods. It's done. It's over. Adios, finito. So the thing is to live today to its fullest and also have some eye towards our future selves, balancing both of those things. And the way that we live today, the decisions that we make about money, but also about our health, and that's to the parallel that you were talking about. These are very similar areas. Money, how we make money, trading, market participation, the markets itself, themselves, and how we take care of ourselves. You know, the stock market and the food market are very parallel. They're both markets and they're both very, very similar. So the thing is this: the better we take care of ourselves today, the stronger we are, the more enabled we are, the more dynamic we are, the more adaptive we are in multiple, multiple ways. We know this for a fact. And I'm going to go through some of them. I'll probably forget a few. There are so many. I'll definitely forget a few, but here's a few. When we're thriving, when we're healthy, when we have metabolic health, our ability to focus is greater. And if you're a trader out here watching this, see if some of these ring for you in terms of the importance of them towards your vocation, your ability to focus, right? Obviously very important in trading.
Totally.
Your level of energy, your ability to maintain energy over time, right? So not only, 9:30 a.m. when the bell rings, but 3:30 in the afternoon when you've already been involved with the market all day and you've had some day and you still have more decisions to make before the close. Your energy level, your emotional regulation system. This one is so underappreciated and also so incredibly important. Your emotional regulation system. So that is, how able are you to regulate your emotions, right? Because every trader experiences incredibly strong emotions, right? Behavioral economics 101, loss aversion, losses loom larger than gains. Every day can be a roller coaster in the market. When you're healthy, you have a great, much greater capacity to regulate your emotions, to control your emotions, okay? Stamina. I guess that goes back to focus, but it's another aspect of focus, right? Your stamina, your ability to maintain a high level of performance over an extended period of time. And but those are really, really important ones. And so being healthy, so this is alpha, right? So think about it this way. Markets are so hard. Squeezing this much alpha out of a market takes a ton of work. Mm-hmm. And you can just look back on the last 10 years of average equity hedge fund performance to see that there is not so much alpha. It's not like it was 30 or 40 years ago when hedge funds were young vehicles where people would, Marty Zweig would outperform every year by this much. That has been squeezed and squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. And there are others out there who are incredibly strong performers. Another analogy is professional athletes, right? So if you're playing out in the market, you're a professional athlete. You're playing against pros. Even if you're just, even if you just have a little Schwab trading account, it doesn't change the people you're playing against. So you need every single edge that you possibly can muster. And so having this physical mental edge of being really healthy, even if it's just incremental, even if it's just this much, you need that edge. So being healthy provides you with the ability to have greater focus, stamina, emotional regulation, energy throughout the day. I forget what else I might have said. And there's two or three more that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head, but I really hit the important ones.
100%. And what I love about this is we as traders are obsessed with, and we do it here on the podcast for good reason. We're obsessed with strategy, looking at charts, trying to get better entries and exits. But like you say, that is a hard game after a certain point. And what you're essentially saying here is there is potentially greater unlock of more focus, you know, more intensity staring at that screen, treating your body better might actually, you know, spending time there is actually going to probably get you some better trading profits than, you know, reading the 34th technical analysis book, right? Like that is really, if we're summing this up in a neat little bow, what you're getting at. And I love that because I 100% agree.
You have different trading tools that you use. You have whatever the platform is. You probably have a chart platform. You have books that you've read and knowledge that you've gained. This is a tool also. Your own body and mind is a tool that it's the most important one. So you have to take care of it. One other distinction I want to make that you reminded me of as you were just talking. Mm-hmm. There are two types of things in this world, right? I mean, there's all different ways we can categorize things. But one way that we could categorize things is like this. There are two types of things in the world. There are things that we cannot control, and there are things that we can control, right? So you can't control the price of an asset. You have no control over that, right? It's going to do what it's going to do. That's part of this game. Managing risk is important. All of these different, you know, your entry is important. How much you put on is important. The tools that you're using and the quality of the technology and your internet connection and the platform you're using, you know, you can control all of those. Your health, you can control. The price of an asset. So if that's something that you have control over, that you can improve and that you can really take care of, why wouldn't you? And you're playing against other pros, whether you're a pro or not. Why wouldn't you? What reason would you possibly have for not improving the functioning of your mind and body via your health? And really, all of these are very simple things that you can do. Not necessarily easy. And I know that's a cliche in markets. It's also a cliche in health, that doing some of this stuff is very, very simple. None of these are, there's no magic rules. You don't have to have like, it's not about, you know, like people ask me crazy questions about nutrition, you know, like how about spirulina and how about, you know, all these different like, you know, how about blueberries, which blueberries are great for you, by the way, but they're not any secret thing. You know what I mean? I mean, you could go to your grocery store and buy frozen blueberries in a giant bag and have them in your freezer. There's no secret there. It's just a healthy food, but there's no secrets. Your other question now, I remember your other question because it's such an important question. It's not hard to do. It's not about willpower. Mm. It's that people do it wrong. So it's not about resisting. It's not about willpower of resisting the cookie. It's about not really wanting the cookie. So how do you get to that point where you don't want the cookie, right? How do you get to that point where, I don't care. I love cookies. You know what I mean? Like I know the whole thing about cookies. Believe me, ice cream, I know the whole thing about it. But how do you get to that point where it's not about willpower?
I love this because I love cookies and I'd love to know how to be indifferent about them, right? Or use them as a treat or a special experience or something like that, right? Like,
here's the thing. So there are foods. Our bodies have been honed. Our bodies are incredible machines. They have been honed by millions of years of evolution. They have been refined. And they have been made more and more efficient. They know what they need, and they know when they need it. Very unfortunately, our culture has moved us very far away from what we need and towards what large organizations want to sell us, right? We live in a capitalist society. A lot of this is based on money, and we have been manipulated, not just individually. We have been manipulated culturally. Our whole culture has been very strongly manipulated by very, you know, large processed food conglomerates that are incredibly effective at marketing. You know, I remember watching as a kid Count Chocula commercials and just being like, mommy, mommy, I want Count Chocula. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's how young it starts. They know what they're doing. They're experts at it. And not only are they great at marketing, but they're incredible lobbyists too. So they go to Washington and they have had a huge effect on policy. And you can look at the food pyramid that is Garbaggio. And so here's the thing. We're living, so we're creatures, we've been honed, we know what our body needs, but we are also social animals, and we are subject to our environment. So we adapt to the environment that we're in, and we are affected by the environment around us. And so, you know, being a contrarian in the market is very, very difficult, right? Everybody, being a contrarian is such a cool thing, but it's also incredibly hard, right? It's a hard thing to do, but everybody wants to be one, even though swimming against the current is so difficult, and people get crushed all the time, but it always sounds so good. You know, it always you always sound cool if you're contrarian, but it's a lot harder in practice. Being a contrarian within this culture that promotes poor health is a lot easier. It's difficult from the standpoint that we have this urge to like do what everybody else is doing, like that keeping up with the Joneses thing or the peer pressure thing. But in practice, it's really not that hard. Once we sort of, you know, cross that chasm and decide that we're going to behave for ourselves and not behave within the context of culture. So getting back to our bodies know what we need. Our bodies crave nutrient-rich foods. Foods that will nourish us, foods that will help us grow, foods that will keep us healthy for a long period of time. These are foods that do not come out of a box. Count Chocula is not a nutrient-rich food. Salmon is. We know what the foods are. There's no secret. Salmon, ground beef, steak, chicken, shrimp, yogurt, cheese, nuts, berries, Greek yogurt. I said Greek yogurt already. It's not. So if you go to dark green leafy vegetables, broccoli, peppers, low-carb fruits and vegetables. So if you go to the grocery and you don't go to the middle, you know, you just go around the end, you know what I mean? Like you start in the produce, you get those blueberries, then you go to the fish counter, you get some of that, you go to the meat counter, you get some of that, you go to the dairy counter and you get some Greek yogurt, and then you go out, you're on your way.
Mm.
So then what happens is you start doing it. And what you find is that you're not really that hungry. You're not as hungry. If the first thing I eat today is 8 eggs and, you know, a pound of ground beef, I'm not really going to be hungry.
Mm.
I'm not going to crave the cookie. You know, my kids might have a cookie. I'm not going to have one because I feel full. I just ate food. My body's like going, yeah, Phil, you just gave me the stuff I needed that I really wanted, not the Count Chocula or, you know, pretzels or Ennemann's cookies or Doritos that, you know, those Dorito commercials during the Super Bowl. Oh, you know what I mean? You know what they're doing to you?
Right.
So you start that way. And what you will find, your initial reaction will be, wow, this is not as difficult as I thought it was. And so there's still the willpower going on. But the 100th time you go to the grocery store and you only go around the outside edge and you don't go into that middle area where all the boxes of food are, by that 100th time, it won't be about willpower anymore because it'll be about your habits. It'll be like, oh, this is what I do. And I wasn't hungry. So the magic is not the willpower. The magic is getting to the point where you are eating, where you have formed new habits, and then that becomes your identity. That becomes a part of who you are. So you asked me how long have I been doing it? And I said, you know, I've been getting healthy for about 10 years, and I've been eating a certain way for about 4 or 5 years. Now it's automatic. It's not about willpower anymore. It's about just, this is who I am. And this is how I identify myself. And these are what my habits are. That's the holy grail. That's where you want to get to.
I love it. I love the context. I love the setup there. And I like the willpower and the habit, right? And I think this segues us nicely into trading, because for trading, I believe willpower is an interesting term. And I think lots of traders feel like there has to be willpower not to trade the next stock that's on CNBC, or, hey, look at what Evan's posting on Twitter. Like, maybe I should go trade that. There's willpower involved in many, it shows up in many different ways. So your solution, or what you're saying, is create those habits. You need a process, and identify. That's an interesting one. That's the term you used. Identify as being that person. Is that fair assessment on kind of translating it into trading?
Identity is so important. Who we are, how we think of ourselves is so much more important than you hit a lot of things here that I want to touch on. One of them was what's coming at you, like, you know, Twitter or news or people talking at me. That is, you know, that's the junk food of information. You know what I mean? Like, that's the junk food of, like, what's coming into your mind. That's a whole other thing. But this idea of identity and who we are and willpower, how do we think of ourselves, is critical to being anything, not just a trader, but in terms of being a trader, how do I think of myself? What do I do? Am I disciplined? Do I have an exit before I enter every trade? Is that just who I am and that's what I do? Or do I wrestle with that? Is it about willpower for me? The more you do something, the more it becomes habituated, the more it becomes a part of who you are, the more it becomes internalized. So it's really repeating these things over and over again. If you're suffering, if you're having difficulty doing that, you have to make a change. I don't have any slick way of motivating you to do that, but you don't have a choice, because you're not going to last long in the market. You probably want to start with lowering your risk, and you probably want to start with making fewer trades, and just, you know, because then you're going into learning mode and teaching yourself mode. So if you spent a year just making one trade a day, and that trade from a process point of view was chef's kiss, so you had your process, you had your setup, you had your entry, you had your defined risk, and you did that one trade per day. You did that every day for a year, it would become a habit, and it would become automatized, habitual, part of who you are, part of how your brain works, part of what you do naturally and over and over again. So it would stop being willpower at that point. And it would, you know, it would be about, this is what I do, this is who I am. So much more important than, well, you're never going to get there on willpower.
Yeah,
you're gonna beat yourself up like crazy, and you know the world is filled with people who failed at everything, whether it's a diet, whether it's exercise routine, whether it's trading, anything, you know, because of failed willpower. And then you go and you beat yourself up because, oh, I couldn't do it, I wasn't strong enough. It's not about strong, you know. I mean, Darwin will tell you, right, that evolution is not, natural selection is not about strength. It's about flexibility and adaptiveness.
And we will be right back. Those of you who know Trade Risk know we are all about rules-based investing, and that's why we are so excited to have Investor's Business Daily as a podcast sponsor. William O'Neill and the experts at IBD created a proprietary market timing system that keeps you on the right side of the action, aggressive in uptrends and protected in downtrends. IBD digital members get daily updates on the current market trend, so they always know if it's a good time to be invested. Members also get access to IBD's top trade ideas, in-depth analysis, educational webinars, and much more. This is the framework for responsible investing, knowing when to be involved in the market and what stocks to have on your watch list. And with IBD Digital, you'll get both the information and education. Podcast listeners can get their first 2 months for only $20 by going to investors.com/Evan. That's investors.com/EVAN. Now, let's get back to today's show. So you have a pretty notable sort of entry into financial markets, as I understand it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you were a hell of a teacher back in the day. You won an award, and that was your entry money. That was what you used essentially to get started back in, I believe it was the 90s. And so,
how'd you know that?
I do my homework.
Well done.
I do my homework.
That's going back a long time, man.
Yeah. Yeah, which I thought was a fun story, and I thought that was a novel way of just entering the markets. I hear the same old story kind of thing. That seemed kind of refreshing, and you know, your background, I don't believe you had it yet, your doctorate in clinical psychology, but that is your formal trained education background. So what were some of your experiences going through the 90s? You survived. You're still here. You are still smiling. So you've done something right. Tell me a little bit about getting started in just that era of the bubble, the crash, and how it shaped your beliefs.
At the time, it was absurd. And now, if you look at the velocity of markets, it's everything's happening much faster. Everything's happening much larger now. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was the same exact thing. At that time, in the late 90s, everything was much larger and everything was much faster than it had ever been before. And so it was just a wild roller coaster ride. And I won an award as my first gig was a school teacher, and I won an award, and I took that money and I opened a Daytech account, which is a very old, it was one of the very first trading platforms that ever existed, online electronic trading platforms. And I put, and it got bought and then it got bought again. So it's that old, you know what I mean? And I forget now what the name of the company that bought it was, but then that company got bought by a much larger, you know, like Interactive or one of those large ones that still exist today. It got bought eventually by TD Ameritrade, because I still get emails 20 some years later. I still get emails from TD Ameritrade, which is really funny. So I was a school teacher, my first job out of college, my first real job. And I won an award. I was a pretty good teacher. And I took that money. I put it in a Daytech account. And the market was, I knew nothing. But my, you know, I had family members who were into it. And, you know, I bought Cisco and I bought AOL and I bought, you know, JDSU and I bought all these crazy internet stocks. Mm-hmm. And my account grew considerably. And it was great. You know, I had no clue and my account grew a lot. And then I was actually working on my doctorate and I was studying bipolar disorder, which is manic depression, what they used to call manic depression. Mm-hmm. And the mania part of it was, it was a difficult period in my life, and it was an emotional period because it was hard work, And I went on internship up in Rochester during in 99, which was everything was reaching this crazy, crazy peak. And I remember thinking, wow, this, I'm studying mania. And I remember thinking everything is, this is a mania. This is, everything was a mania. Like there's this thing called medical student syndrome or something like that. And that is this, that when you're learning about all of these ailments, you think you have all the ailments. So, you know, you're learning about diabetes and you get, you know, you think you have diabetes and you're learning about cancer. You think you have cancer and you're learning about, you become so sensitive to everything. And the same is true in psychology. You know, everybody has personality. But you're learning about all these disorders. You feel sad one day, you think you have depression. You feel, you know, you're excited or scared about something, you think you have an anxiety disorder. All of these different things. So, you know, I was involved with the markets as I was doing this, doing this doctoral program, and I was like, oh my God, I'm crazy. I have mania, and the market has mania. And it's all crazy. And this was just like, you know, Bezos was winning Time Man of the Year in late 99. And all of that kind of stuff was happening right in that moment. And I just got, you know, I got very fearful and I got very anxious. And I started reading books about behavioral economics. Matt McKay's book, Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. Oh my God. And so fortunately I got out of the market, at a pretty good time. Although I tried shorting the market and I was too early. I was like, oh my God, Amazon's a bubble. I'm going to short Amazon. It went up another 20 points, you know, but I didn't do that big. But that was my entree into markets, and Daytech was like, you know, at the time it was like $29 a trade, but that was incredibly inexpensive. That was like super cheap. Your round trip was $60, but you know, calling a broker was, you know, three times that much money.
Yeah, that's refreshing. I mean, you started in the 90s. Most traders, yeah, they didn't know what they were doing. If they were just getting started there, they thought they were geniuses, but getting swept up in a massive bull market bubble. And like you said earlier, right, contrarian at the right time. Maybe you were a little bit early on the shorting, but you fared pretty well. And yeah, your education really paid off in that sense. So that's a fascinating story. I love that entry. I've heard you talk about some people being born with a better disposition for trading, right? Some people might just, they got it. They've got some qualities down, but what are those qualities? What type of person, if you had to kind of think about it, is got a bit of a head start, maybe more hardwired for trading and investing in markets?
So here's the thing. There's a lot of similarities between mental illness and the way that people behave in markets, right? We don't behave in our own self-interest very often. We hold losers too long. We sell winners too fast. We overtrade. We're overconfident. There's a lot, you know, that's what behavioral economics is all about. There's some similarities to that and what, you know, old school shrinks would call neurosis, you know, like neurosis. One definition, Maurer defined neurosis as this tendency to do things that are not in our own best interests repeatedly. So we don't learn from our own mistakes. We continue to do things that kind of mess us up, and we do them over and over again. That's neurosis in the market. And so people who are natural market participants are actually abnormal. So most people don't make good market participants. And if you know, I don't know the exact numbers, but I know that the majority of people who get involved with markets fail. You know, the majority of people who opened a Daytech account did not have good fortune over a long period of time. And the same is true today. And that is because we are generally hardwired to make poor decisions, where it's normal, not abnormal. So qualities that make a good market participant, some of them are abnormal, right? The most notable is to be is to have a hardiness, or to be naturally resistant to the emotional effects of loss aversion. So to not really care so much that you do stupid things. When people care too much and they get anxious, that's when they do dumb stuff. So if you don't have this natural response to loss aversion that most normal people have, that is an advantage right out of the gate. Another one, and this is related but not the same thing, is to have a high tolerance for emotional dysregulation, to have this ability. Like we were talking about exercise, you know, being healthy makes this better. But you're born, you know, everybody's born on a scale of 1 to 10 and with many attributes, right? How tall are we? You know, well, if we're 6'8", we're kind of a 9 in terms of this 1 to 10 scale. If we're, you know, and so focus. So all of the attributes I was talking about before, people are born with this natural propensity in those regards. Some people are just more even keel people. Those people are going to have a tendency to be better in markets. Some people have a greater ability to focus, to sit for hours on end and stay very focused on what they're doing. That's whether they're really healthy or not. I mean, being healthy is going to improve you on all these scales, but it's not going to take you from a 1 to a 10. So in other words, if you have no ability to focus, if you're a 1 on the focus scale, getting healthy is not going to get you to a 10. It's going to get you to a 3. You're going to improve. But, you know, so if you're a market participant and you have a natural propensity to focus well or to plan well, planning is one I don't know if we talked about before, but planning is another one. Being healthy improves our ability to plan, to think about things over periods of time in the future. Our cognitive capacity in general, our ability to think in general. But if we're born, you know, if we're born with an 8 or a 9 in those areas, right, in cognitive capacity, planning, cognitive flexibility, the ability to change direction. You know, I mean, how many people get killed because they hold on to hold on to positions and stay rigid in position in positions? So cognitive flexibility, ability to focus, ability to regulate your emotions, stamina. Those are really, you know, a natural defense against loss aversion. Those are really important qualities coming in. So if I was running a desk and I had people come in, interviewing, I would try to figure out how to measure for those qualities. And that would be a no-brainer way to attract talent, even if, you know, independent of experience.
The trader though, that is at home, that is hearing this and maybe is thinking in this way for the first time, and they're thinking of that 1 to 10 scale and they're saying, you know what, my focus might be an 8 or a 9 and my flexibility is an 8 or a 9, but you know, emotional stamina might be only like a 4, right? So eating healthy, getting the body right, getting the mind right. There's a lot here, but what else? Is it a self-talk? Is it journaling? Anything else that we can like introspectively sort of come away with some tactics maybe to just, you know, figure out how we might be able to improve, get from a 5 to a 6 or a 7 in some of these areas?
So what you're doing is, and the reason that I love doing this program, and the reason that I love interacting with the best of this community. I know that you've recently had on Brian Shannon and Brian Lunn and Anne Marie. Those are very high quality people. And what I would say is an really important thing to do is to find your tribe, find your community. Find people around who are very high quality, not the people who are going to sell you get rich, not the people who are going to, you know, hey, I got this trading strategy. It's the greatest thing. Come get and check out my Lambo. Big red flags there on that kind of thing. But what you want to find are people that over time are high quality, who are generous, who have really done well. You know, and you can't tell who's done well by the kind of car they drive or the kind of watch they wear. You could tell people who've done well only over time with your own eyes and ears, watching and observing. So it's not about, you know, if somebody's, as a matter of fact, it's a contrary indicator. You know, how nice somebody's watch is and how big it is and how much they show it to you is a contrary indicator. Okay, run. On the other side of that are people who will answer your questions on StockTwits or Twitter, who have shown repeatedly that they're giving back, who have shown repeatedly that their thinking is sound, who are honest with trades, you know, who will take a loss as well as if anybody who only takes a victory lap, suspect. But yep. I would say that if you're starting out, you want to find other people who you see that you truly admire, and then, you know, you don't want to stalk them. You don't want to bother them, but you want to learn from them and you want to engage with them where you can. If you have a really good question, find your tribe is an incredibly important thing, because we learn by, you know, social learning is a real thing, right? We learn by other people who are modeling a specific behavior. That's called social learning theory, Albert Bandura. It's a real thing, right? And if we follow people and we become part of a tribe of people who are successful and doing things well, we naturally, by osmosis, by social osmosis, we adopt those types of habits and those types of behaviors. You get with Brian Shannon's been doing a video every Saturday that he puts on YouTube since YouTube began, man. He came out of the womb doing that. He's the father of YouTube technical analysis videos. And yep. You know what? He's just plying his trade. He does the same thing. I mean, he's tweaked it over the years methodically and gradually and gotten it better and better. But and you know why? Because it works for him. Mm-hmm. Because it's real. It's not get rich quick. So my best advice is to find your tribe, find people who are doing what you want to be doing, and get with them and follow them and engage with them and be a worthy student so that they want to engage with you.
Such good advice. Yeah, find your tribe. So important. Find the people that you look up to and you want to emulate and be like. So I really like that advice. And we're going to start to wind down here. One of the last kind of closing questions here is successful trading and what it means to you. So you've done this a long time. We didn't talk too much about the hedge fund and you know, we talked a little bit about your early start and how you've progressed now, but what does successful trading or investing look like to you present day?
So here's the way it looks to me present day. I'm very fortunate. Mm-hmm. I've worked hard a long time. I've made good investments. I've made bad investments. Net, very positive. And I never lived beyond my means. And so today, what I do is I'm incredibly passive. And as a matter of fact, if you're an active trader out there and you're making a nice living, I would strongly recommend that you begin to adopt some very simple, longer-term wealth management principles. Automatic reinvestment. You can find all kinds of platforms offer that these days. Taking advantage of taxed advantage accounts, dollar cost averaging, finding low cost ETFs that are very broad and diversified, all the most boring stuff works over a very long period of time. So I can't recommend to you enough. So I'm the most boring investor in the world right now. But guess what? It works. Works really well. Now, I also have a crypto portfolio. Even that, I'm a long-term holder. I'm involved in the crypto markets. I'm presently chief marketing officer at Osprey Funds. This is a wonderful company that I get to work for and invest in that is focused on developing crypto funds, single coin trusts for accredited, mostly for accredited investors. And we also have some that trade publicly. But there's my little plug. But I do that also from a long-term perspective. And I do that with a much smaller part of my longer-term portfolio. But I would say that whole boring thing with the low-cost funds, it's a great way to invest. It's a great, you don't worry about it. You don't watch it. It's separate from trading. You know, if trading is your vocation, this may be your long-term wealth management plan. So I'm much more involved with that now than I am in trading. It's just, and it's a stage of life. You know, it's like where I am in my life, what I'm doing, what I choose to do with my time.
Anything else we want to wrap up, touch on? Anything else on your mind, closing thoughts, topics we didn't get to talk about?
I just want to go back to the, you know, one of the things that we talked about earlier and just reiterate an incredibly important point. Like, so, you know, I come on these things, right? I'm talking with you. It's an honor to. And there's how much alpha do I have to offer, right? What do I have to offer that I can share? And I, you know, I have some things we talked about, some fun things in my past or whatever. Here's the alpha that I presented to you today. It happened in, you know, earlier on, but it was incredibly important. There are things that we have no control over, right? There are things that we have no control over the price of an asset. We have no control over what the S&P 500 is going to do today or tomorrow. There are other things that we do have control over. One of those things that is neglected in our present culture is how we treat our apparatus, our fundamental trading apparatus that is our mind and our body, our ability to think, our cognitive flexibility, our cognitive focus, our stamina, our emotional regulation system, which is also a part of the cognitive apparatus, our body and how long we're able to maintain focus and energy. All of those things we have control over. We can move them. If we're a 7 naturally, we can move them to a 9. If we're an 8, we can move them closer to a 10. If we're a 5 and it's a weakness, we can move them to a 7. If we're a 3, we might be able to move them up a little bit more, you know, a 3 to a 7. I mean, if you looked at pictures of me, you know, 14 years ago, my face was a lot rounder. You know what I mean? I was a lot, like, if you looked at me then, you might think, oh, that guy's a 3. A lot less cookies over a long period of time. You'd be incredibly. So that is something that you have control over. So if you're really serious about doing this, and you really want to be a pro, and you're saying to yourself, okay, here's the things I can control that I can better myself. I can better specific attributes that will improve my performance over the long term. Health is a great way to start. Check out my Substack. Speaking of this, I talk to this a lot. I write about this every week. Prime Cuts Substack, Phil Perlman. That's my little plug for my whole health thing. But many of the people who are subscribers to that are market participants. And I speak to that very often. I have a lot of pros, a lot of RIAs, a lot of traders who are not only readers, but who ask me questions. And so I go into that area all the time.
Yep. Prime Cuts newsletter. I love it. I'm a subscriber. So definitely check it out. Anywhere else you want to hand people off to, Phil, while we wind down here?
I just want to thank you for having me. I can't tell you how much I love what you're doing. I think the quality of the guests up until today, the quality of the guests has been excellent. and I think that you're doing a great service. You're giving back. You're doing a great service for the trading community by allowing people to come on, because what's going to happen is some people resonate, you know, people resonate with different people. Some people are going to watch a Brian Lund and go, oh, that guy really resonates with me. And then he's going to go, some people are going to go, oh, that Phil Proman, he really resonates with me. So you're providing that outlet is invaluable, and your focus on trader education is really a service to the whole community. So thank you.
Awesome. Phil, very much appreciate that. You said it, time is precious. So thank you for taking the time today and
being here.
There's so much more, you know, maybe a round two on overreactions and Osprey, what you're doing there, and intensity and focus. There's so many other topics. Maybe a year from now, we'll bug you to get you back on here. But that's it for today, folks. All the notes and links from this episode can be found at thetraderisk.com/podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We hope to see you in a future episode. Thank you so much, Phil. Again, this was awesome.
Adios.
Thank you for listening to Smarter Trading. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For all of the show notes, links, and callouts, head on over to thetraderisk.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Smarter Trading is hosted by me, Evan Medeiros, and produced by Ashton Alexander. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope to see you in the next episode.